welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Brother Chad Johnson with today's message.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1 and verse 21 is where we made it to the last time on the last broadcast that we had. I'm going to go verse by verse and preach through the book of 1 and 2 Peter. I love to read after Peter. I love to study his life. He's a great apostle of the Lord that God enabled him to do many things for the Lord. And I like Peter, and I just like how he says things, how he was. He was just a good preacher of the Word of God. Verse 21 says, "Who by him," talking about Christ, "do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." See, when God raised Jesus Christ up from the dead, he gave him glory. Jesus Christ was then in a glorified body. He was a man, but he was God, and his body was flesh. He was human in his body, and his man, the man of Christ, and he needed a glorified body too. And when he was raised from the dead on that third day, God gave him a glorified body, gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And if there's any time in our lives that our faith and hope ought to be in God, it ought to be now. Many people have their faith and hope in financial systems that are shaky. They have their faith and hope in governments that are crooked and lie and don't tell the truth. But I tell you what, our hope and our faith and everything that we have ought to be riding and laid on the hope that we have in God. That God is going to provide for us and that God is still in control. That doesn't mean we won't see hard times, but we know that God will eventually deliver us from whatever comes our way. That's the faith and hope that we have in God. Verse 22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Now, I think there's two meanings maybe there. You could look at it like seeing that you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. That could be in conversion. That's how we are saved, by obeying the truth. Now, the truth of the Word of God is repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Of course, we know that those things are given to us as a gift of God, that salvation is all by grace. And then, once we are saved, we purify ourselves. The Bible said we're clean through the Word and the Spirit of God. And the more truth we obey after we're saved, the more we'll be purified in our soul. Not that you're getting more saved. You're just as saved as you'll ever be when the Lord saves you. But that sanctification, that growing in grace, that being more conformed to the image of Christ, how does that happen? Simply by obeying the Word of God. As God shows us stuff in our life, just start cutting it out. The Word of God shows us something else, get rid of it. The Word of God shows us something we need to put in our life, we put it in. That's how we become more purified in our practice, in practical sanctification. I mean, we can do nothing to affect our positional justification. We can't do anything to get it or keep it or anything to lose it. We are positionally sanctified. We're set apart, Hebrews tells us, by the blood of Christ. But that practical sanctification can change from day to day, and that comes through our obedience. We are sanctified more practically in our practice, or by our disobedience, we're less sanctified in our practice. And look at the rest of that verse. "See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." When something's fervent, that means great intensity, great enthusiasm, great zeal. And we're to love the brethren that way. There ought to be, if there's any place in the world there ought to be love, it ought to be among the people of God. We ought to love our brethren and our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We ought to love them just like or even more than our physical family, even at times. Now, sometimes your physical family are also brothers and sisters in the Lord. But see, our kinship through the blood of Christ. See, when I see my brother, I say, "Hi, brother." That means that we came from the same womb. We're identifying with that. Well, that's the same way it is in salvation. When I see a brother or sister in Christ, we were born again from the same womb of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God and through hearing the Word of God and God working that seed in. See, we're all saved the same way. Now, I know everybody maybe gives a little different testimony about the things God used to bring them to salvation, whether it was a tragedy or the goodness of God brings some to repentance. But at the end of it, it's still the working of grace through repentance and faith, and it's all of God. All of God. It's too much man-centered evangelism today and trying to focus on numbers and on money and on professions. We need to focus on God and on man's need of Him because of his sin. Focus on those things and let God take care of it. Because if we are making men make professions, they're not saved. They're not truly saved because God's got to do the work of grace. Our responsibility is to preach the Word of God and to put the seed out there and to live a godly example before them and point them to Christ. And God's responsibility and God's part of it is He does the work in the man's soul or woman's soul. I love verse 23. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, I want to look at something here. Being born again. You know, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in the book of John, He told Nicodemus, He said, you must be born, yes, of this water. I believe that's reference to the physical birth. Some people believe it means being born because the Word of God is compared to the water. It's talking about the sanctifying work of grace. And I'm not going to dispute that, but I honestly believe He said, yeah, you've got to be born that physical birth, that water birth. But you also must be born again. And it's by corruptible, or it's by incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. In a physical birth, there must be the seed of the man and the egg of the woman. There must be a seed that is sown. In the physical birth, that's the truth. That's the case. Also in the physical, or excuse me, in the spiritual birth, the being born again, there must be a seed that's sown. And He said right here, the seed is by the Word of God. Now, the parable of the sowers, we see it identified that the seed that was sown was the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed that must be sown. Nobody will ever be saved outside the seed of the Word. Here's how it works in a nutshell. The Word of God, the seed. I'm not saying it's got to come from a pulpit or a preacher's mouth. I believe you could pick up the Word of God and start reading the Word of God as a lost person, and the seed be sown that way, and the Spirit of God take that seed and put it in the good ground and plow that seed in, get it in there, and use it to work conviction through the Spirit and convicting a man of his sin and then bringing him to grace. See, the Word of God, it takes the law of God and the gospel for a man to know and need, and for a man to be saved. Now, some people say, oh, there you are, you're a legalist. No, the law can't save you, but the law points you to the one who can. The Old Testament, when the Jews, they were under the covenant of the law, they did practice the ceremonial law and keeping of the moral law and what the ceremonial law pointed to. That's how Abraham was justified by faith before Christ died on the cross, is because not those sacrifices that he was offering cleansed him from sin, but what he was looking to and they were pointing to, that's what justified Abraham. But you're not going to be born again till you hear the law of God. That's why we need preachers to once again stand up and preach the law of God. Paul said, before the law came, man, I was good. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was persecuting the church, thought I was doing good things. I was defending the faith. He did everything he could, but he said when the law came, it slew him and knocked him down flat of his back. And that's the way it is when the law of God is preached, that thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And we see the law of God, and when we hold our life, see our life compared to the law of God, that we didn't keep it. See, the Bible says, I believe, if I can find it real quick here, I do want to find it in the book of James, it makes reference to this. James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. God said not to do both of them. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. See, you could keep every bit of the law if it was possible. I believe we've broken all the law of God individually. But the Word of God says, if you could keep every one of them but one, and you offend in that one, you've transgressed the whole law. Because why? Keeping of the law was not just keeping certain ones. The keeping of the law for salvation, if that were possible, you have to keep it all. And we can't do that. And that's why the cross is offensive to some people. Is when we look at the crucified Lord, we see that what it's telling us is what you have and what you can do is not enough. You must look to this right here for your salvation. That's offensive to fallen man. So we see that we must hear the law of God. A sinner must hear the law, and once that word is sown in his heart, then God uses the spirit of conviction to take that word. See, the law is like a breaking plow. If we're talking about being born again, not corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God. When you sow seed out here in the field, the ground, though I know there's ways of farming now that they no-till the ground and put the seed in, but used to, that ground had to be broken. A man's heart must be broken by the seed, by the law of God. The Word of God is the plow that breaks a man's heart when he hears the law and sees that he's guilty, because God's Spirit starts to break his heart with the law. See, he's breaking the ground up, that the seed of the gospel must be preached also. So you must hear the gospel. You must hear the law of God. I don't believe there's salvation apart from hearing the Word of God and God using it. See, God chose the foolishness of preaching, the proclaiming of the Word of God, to save those which would believe. I don't believe a man who's never seen a Bible, never heard the Word of God, though I know the man has a conscience. God has put something in all men to want to worship. It's there. I mean, you go to any place in the world, even if they're uncivilized, they'll be worshiping something, whether it's themselves or some tribal leader or some rock or the moon. We're worshiping something, but you'll never worship the right thing until God visits you and He visits people through the Word of God. You don't ever walk out a man who's never heard the Scripture, never heard the law. It's never give him a knowledge of his sin. See, the law is our schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. It points us. See, the law cannot save you, but thank God it points to the one who can. A man never just walk out and look up and say, well, I'm a sinner and I've sinned against God. I'm a wretched worm. Lord, forgive me. I need mercy. He'll never get there until he is confronted with the law and the gospel. I thank God for the law of God, and I thank God for the gospel. Our time is come and gone. We'll finish up that verse 23 next week, and then we'll go on to the rest of the chapter and the rest of the book. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.